Praise the Lord. Are we happy this morning? Are we happy this morning? You see the summer bug now. We have the summer bug in the house. If you turn around, you look. It's not really a full house because people are traveling. People have taken time off, which is good. It's necessary. So, we want to thank God for an opportunity like this to hear from Him. We thank you all online. Though not yet present physically, we know you are present there. And we thank God for you. And also this privilege that the pastor has given me to minister, I say thank you. Thank you very much. And I know God has something for us this morning. Hallelujah. Now, before we start, I would like us to go through a confession. Amen. We'll be on the overhead. Okay, let's go through our confessions. One, go. 2026 is my year of supernatural shift, and power is changing hands. The shift is here, and I am taking over. Supernatural, helped, incredible, favored, and transfer of power. This is my crossover, pass over, take over, make over, do over, walk over, and fly over here in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. There is no one like the God of Israel who rides across the heavens to help me. The eternal God is my refuge, and underneath me are his everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before me, and he will say, destroy. I am helped, favored, and blessed. The Lord is my saving strength and the shield of my life. My help comes from him who made heaven and earth. He will not allow my foot to slip or be moved. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord preserves me from all evil in my going out and coming in. He is my protective shade and my covenant covering. I sit fearlessly and confidently at the throne of God's unmerited favor and soak up his mercy and grace. Praise God, I am helped, favored, and blessed. This is my year of incredible. My incredible praise to my incredible God is provoking incredible miracles in my life. Strange things, remarkable things, extraordinary things, astonishing things, and unimaginable things are all lined up for me in this season. The story and glory of my life today will be impossible, improbable, amazing, unthinkable, and uncommon. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 2026 is my year of non-stop laughter, celebrations, unlimited, unending festivities, and round-the-clock jubilation. Adversity will expire, and I will recover. God will have the last laugh and the final say. I am laughing today, tomorrow, and the day after. Look what the Lord has done. There is no expiration on his promise now. Sorrow is destroyed. Failure is forgotten. Anxiety is vanquished. Fear is defeated. Setback is sent back. Bad news is stale news. Satan is conquered. Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, laugh with me. Oh, yes. Woo! In this season, it's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. And he sets them among princes, placing them in seats of honor. It's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. God said, he is giving me treasures hidden in the darkness and secret places of the earth. It's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me from bitter waters in Marah to pleasant streams in Elim. It's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me from forsaken to Hephzibah and from rejected to Beulah. It's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me from beggar to ruler, from loner to donor, from supplanter to contender. In this season, it's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is my year of vision shift and generational shift. I see the invisible, and I do the impossible. This is my season of opportunity and open doors. I give my bread to the hungry, and I offer hope to the hopeless. I am anointed to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort the afflicted, and to set the captives free. The spirit of sacrifice is upon my life. I say yes to your way and yes to your will. My Father, I choose you as my priority, and I make you my destiny. I receive the sweet fragrance of heaven over my life today. The plague is stopped, the curse is broken, and my bloodline is redeemed forever. Hallelujah. I speak life. Lazarus, come forth. I speak life to you. Dry bones, come alive. I speak life to every part of my body and my mind. Come alive. I speak life to you. Cells, vessels, nerves, tissues, organs, systems, limbs, and joints. Come alive in Jesus' mighty name. I speak life to you, dreams, womb, ventures, investments, treasures, properties, ministry, family, partnerships. Come alive in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Speak life. Speak life to yourself. Speak life to your family. Oh, yes, I speak life. Speak life to your work. Speak life. Speak life to your neighborhood in the name of Jesus. Speak life. Yes, 2026 is my year of supernatural shift, and power is changing hands. The shift is here, and I am taking over. Supernatural helped, incredible, favored, and transfer of power. This is my crossover, Passover, take over, make over, do over, walk over, and fly over year. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you believe that, shout hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Can we be seated in the house? Hallelujah. It's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So this morning, I would like us to share something which the Lord put in my heart to share with us. The title of the message this morning, I will title it, God, My Tower. Hallelujah. God, My Tower. Or more, God, My Strong Tower. Praise the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, can we jump to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, please? Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into and are safe. Hallelujah. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into and are safe. Praise the Lord. Now, for those of you who don't know what a tower is in those days, we have towers still today. You know, some cities, most cities have what they call water towers, where you see these big giant, you know, giant edifice round with water in there. That's the water tower. But in the olden days, the tower was a symbol of strength. It was a symbol of security. You know, if you were about to attack a nation or a city, if you were strategizing with your generals, if you had a map of that city on the table and you are calling your generals, how do we approach this city? What they will first do is, let's identify strongholds and weak points. You will identify weak points, and then you will identify strong points. The strong points that I will be looking for are these towers. Because the way towers were built, they were not built to just, you know, for you to just go through and break them. No, they were not built like that. Towers had specific designs. They had to meet specific criteria. The specifications were built to the teeth, because if you did not follow it, your tower would be useless. So towers were very, very, very important things. I would like also to go to a story in the Bible which will kind of help us understand the meaning of a tower. Hallelujah. If we go to the book of Judges, the 9th chapter. The book of Judges, the 9th chapter. There is a son of Gideon. His name was Abimelech. I would not like us to read through the story, but I can just give you an overhead of what the story is about before we go to where I want us to focus. Now, if you know who Jerubbaal was Gideon. You remember the story of Gideon, anybody? Sunday school, do you remember the story of Gideon? I'm sure many of you know the 300 men that Gideon used to fight thousands, to kill thousands. But Jerubbaal was one of the judges in Israel, and when he died, the Bible says he had about 70 sons. All of them were ruling. But there was this one son called Abimelech who did not want to share the throne. And the Bible says he went and met his mother's people in Shechem. And he told them, tell me, what would you like? 80 people, 70 people ruling over you, or one person who is one of you rule over you? They said, okay, we'll like that one person. He said, okay, then let's do this. So they took and they went and they killed his brothers. And so Abimelech became the king. But there was one son who did not die, who hid himself. I think his name was Jotham. And he gave a curse to Abimelech, telling him how he would die. Hallelujah. But now, at some point, this prophecy was becoming true. Abimelech had to go for a fight. So Abimelech, in Judges chapter 9, if you look verse 50, he said Abimelech went to Thebes. Now, Thebes is the second one. I want us to go to the first one. From verse 45, he says, and Abimelech fought against the city all that day. That's the city of Shechem. And he took the city and slew the people that was therein, and beat down the city and sold it with salt. And when all the men of the tower of Shechem, that was the tower, so the people went and they hid themselves in the tower. Abimelech went there. And they were hiding. And they knew that their tower was a safe place. But they did not know that Abimelech, in verse 48, it says, and Abimelech got him up to Mount Zalmon, he and all the people that were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a bough from the trees and took it and laid it on his shoulder and said unto the people that were with him, what ye have seen me do, make haste and do as I have done. He said, and all the people likewise cut down every man his bow and followed Abimelech and put them to the hold and set the hold. That's the tower. set the tower on fire upon them, so that all the men of the tower of Shechem died also, about 1,000 men and women. Abimelech killed about 1,000 men and women in that tower. But let's go to 50. So because he had been successful in demolishing this tower, he said, okay, let me move to the next city and also kill these people. So he moved to Thebes. This is where 50 goes. Then went Abimelech to Thebes and encamped against Thebes and took it. But there was what? A strong tower within the city. And thither fled all the men and women and all they of the city and shut it to them and got them up to the top of the tower. This had a strong tower. Hallelujah. Remember, Proverbs 18, the name of the Lord is a what? A strong tower. And verse 52, and Abimelech came unto the tower and fought against it and went hard unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire, to use the same strategy he used in Shechem, because it worked in Shechem. He said, let me try it. But there's one thing he forgot. The one in Thebes was a strong tower. Hallelujah. That is what makes a difference. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. See, and a certain woman cast a piece of a millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all to break his skull. So this strong tower, a position of strong, you see what happens? When you're in a secure place, you have all the weapons. You have everything at your disposal. A woman, it was not, they did not need a fighter. In the tower, everybody is a fighter. Hallelujah. When you are in God, you are a fighter. It doesn't matter what or where or who you are, right? You see, it says that the righteous run into the Lord and they are safe. You know, in the world today, there's something called safe spaces. People talk about safe spaces. They tell you, in your safe space, you can say whatever you want. You can be whatever you want. We don't judge. That's what they say. That's their safe space. But our safe space is God. And in God, we can be whatever God says we are. Amen. That is our safe space, God. We will not propagate the safe space of the world. We'll propagate the safe space of our God. Hallelujah. Because in the safe space of our God, we have a voice. We have a strategy. We have a plan. We have a way. Because our God is a strong tower. Hallelujah. Our God is a strong tower. A mighty man fell in the hands of a woman from a rock. Why? Because the woman was in a strong tower. The woman could see him from her strong tower. I'm sure she said, forget it. This is Abimelech. We will show him what Thebes is made of. The people of Thebes, it shall be known that the people of Thebes, you don't joke with our strong tower. And so she said, King, shift by. Let me handle this. And she threw that rock, that stone. Now, take note of what happened in that tower. Because the next story will have to be a link with that. And, you know, I always like David, right? I want us to go and read the book of David, 1 Samuel. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 17. Let's go to 1 Samuel 17. We know the story of Goliath. We know how David fought Goliath. But there's one thing I want us to focus on in this story. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, it says, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. What does Proverbs 18:10 tells us? The name of the Lord is what? It's a strong tower. He said, I come to you from my strong tower. Amen? Oh, Goliath, if only you knew the tales that were said about Abimelech, how he met his doom. Oh, Goliath, I am coming to you in the name of the Lord, who is my strong tower. If only Goliath knew, that would have rung a bell. Say, strong tower again. Abimelech, is it not Abimelech who died with a rock, stone that was, you know, Goliath would have, okay, I see where you are going, David. Oh, you are coming with your strong tower. From your strong tower, you want to shoot a stone? Is that what you want to do, David? But Goliath did not know that. David said, yep, I come against you in the name of the Lord. From a place of my strong tower, and I'm going to shoot a rock that will hit you where you least expect it. Just like Abimelech, you are going to fall down. David knew God as his rock. You can look at Psalm 61 verse 3. David knew God was his rock. He knew that with God he could do anything. He was in a position of strength. Hallelujah. He had that confidence. He says, for thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. That's that word again. It's a strong tower from the enemy. That is who God was for David. So when he marched in that battlefield with Goliath, he already knew that he was already operating from a position of strength. Hallelujah. A position of strength that did not need Saul's, you know, armor. Look, the devil has strategies that he brings every day to us. The world has a lot of strategies. You know, this one was new. It was a very new strategy that the Philistines employed here. The Philistines did not come and say, we are going to fight Israel. They said, no, bring from among you one man that can fight Goliath. Why did they pick Goliath? Why were they asking? Do you know why they were asking? Now let's go to Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. You will see something there. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, it says, now if we start from verse 1, it says, now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Afia, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. A mighty man of power. Who was this man? And he had a son. See, he had a son whose name was Saul. A choice young man and a goodly man. And there was not among the children of Israel, remember, there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. So it means Saul had a mighty, imposing stature. You could look at Saul and you say, yes, I want this man for my king. So that's why when they picked Saul, when God gave them Saul, the people were like, yes, we want him for our king. Because he's a tall man. He's from a very mighty family. So he was tall. Imagine, they say shoulder. It means everybody, Saul was looking at everybody on their head like this. Because that's what the Bible says. And he repeats it in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 23. He says, and they ran and fetched him there. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. That is who Saul was. And so the Philistines surely said, wow, they have a king who is big. He's the biggest amongst them. And you know, when you cut the head, everybody flees. You know, if you cut the head, you've taken them. Why not just ask them? Change strategies. Change it. Oh, forget about this valley where everybody goes and fight. Let's just bait Saul. We'll bait him. A lot of bait in the world today. Many things calling you. seeking for your attention, wanting you to, you know, spend time with them. So Goliath came, a big man. Oh yeah, they say, Goliath, you're a giant. So if Goliath says, bring one person, nobody would think twice. Everybody's hand, eye will go where? To Saul. He's the biggest amongst, he's not only the king, but he's also a tall man. He can deal with you, maybe he's 7 foot. But Goliath was about 9 foot. You know, maybe Saul was 7 foot, but Goliath was, oh, he was taller. And so the Philistines went strategizing, not knowing that God already in his tower, God has already planned something. Hallelujah. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Whatever the devil has planned against you, from your place of that tower, that God, there is already a solution. There is already a loophole, a weakness that God has already identified to defeat the enemy. Amen. There is already a way that God has already figured out. And you know, when the devil strategizes like this, it's an opportunity also for God to elevate you. Do you know that that was when David was elevated, introduced as a future king? You know, David was a man who always talked about his achievement, his resume. He always made sure you knew his resume. I have killed lions, I have killed lions, I have killed bears. With my bare hands, I've done them. So this man is nothing to me. You know? And so that killing of Goliath introduced David. So in the future, when David was made king, nobody argued because they already had songs about him. Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands. He was already in folklore. Yes, they were already talking about David. That fight that he made in that valley of Elah, that fight introduced him into the world. Now, when you fight from a place of your strong tower, you get exposed to your next level. Hallelujah. We are all going to be exposed to our next levels. Amen. You know what the confession says? This is a year of, it's a shift, right? Supernatural shift, generational shifts. We are going to shift when we are in that, when we know that we are in the Lord and he is a strong tower. When we believe that in our heart, that there is no way we are not going to shift. Amen. If we believe that in our heart, that the name of the Lord is what we carry as our property, our guarantee. Praise the Lord. And so David carved his way from a tower, the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord. Today, many people have names that they believe in, or they even, you know, that they hold on, or parties. Some say I am from this, some say I am from that, or family names. Some family names are powerful, you know. I was at a funeral service yesterday, and this young man was giving a testimony how he said, my wife and myself are from different kind of family because my family was a poor family. My wife's family was a rich family. So he did not know how to navigate, how to go and tell this woman's dad that I want to marry your daughter. But he said, before I went, I prayed. It was strange. But because I really wanted my wife, I had to pray that God, I'm going to a place where the name, there's some name recognition. My name, there's no recognition of my name. That is what name recognition is. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord. You should carry the name of the Lord wherever you go. You should have the name of the Lord. And when you are facing difficulties, know that it is another opportunity for you to go to the next level. Because you are already facing these difficulties from a position of strength. You are in a high tower, in a strong tower. Amen. You don't panic. You know, in the confession, we are not supposed to panic. We are not supposed to panic. Said you have the Lord as your strong tower. Today we have a lot of strategies that have been employed. We have, the Philistines maybe thought by changing their strategy, they put the Israelites on a disadvantage. But that was not the case, and they found that a very hard way. But you know today how modern warfare are fought. For those of you, if you are following the news, the war in Iran or Ukraine has exposed a lot of generals scratching their heads. I remember I read a story where one of the generals, the one for the Europe, the EU general, he was like, "We are not ready for this modern war because we do not have what it takes to fight the modern war." Why did he say that? Because the conventional wars are no longer fought. The conventional wars that we knew, where people will go, you send the military and they'll go, they'll shoot, and it's no longer there. He said, now they use drones, unmanned drones. He said, we spent all the year building sophisticated anti-missiles, THAAD, Patriot. We have those. But a small drone that you can make it for about $80,000, $50,000, and you have the THAAD that you spend maybe $1 million to make. See, it doesn't make sense that a drone will be coming and I will release a lion to go and fight a goat. He said, we are not ready. That's the world. And so the world is scratching their head and everybody is trying to, there's a race for who is going to be the first, who is going to be the first to come out with the right weapons, to match this modern warfare. Iran is sending unmanned drones. People have not seen that before. These drones just goes, they just come and you just have to say, okay, AI is not even helping. You just put these drones, AI, and say, okay, this is a map. This is a map of the place. Go to this house. And it just goes and drops. Nobody is there. The target is hit. Modern warfare. But what do? They strategize on how to counteract. And so I watch one research company, and their own research was in the area of these drones. How do we kill them? And this guy came up with an AI control weapon that could shoot, I don't know if it's a thousand bullets in a minute or in a second. So the moment it identifies any unmanned drone, that he just pulls it down. He said, we are still in the testing phase. But seeing what is going on now in modern warfare, we are pushing this fast. Because conventional warfare doesn't cut it anymore. It's the same thing with us. But the good thing is, the conventional warfare doesn't cut it with us. No matter what strategies the devil deploys against us, it will not change the fact that we have our rock. We have a solid tower. Our strong tower does not change. Time does not change. It's not limited by time. He's the creator of time. He's not limited by space. He's the creator. So whatever you do within that time and space, he's already aware of it. The strong tower, who is our God, is more updated than what they think they are updating. You know how you have every week or every month there's an update that comes on your phone that you have to update to make sure you are security, you are not vulnerable to anything out there, or there are some new functions that they have added. They update you so that you're current. Our God is the greatest updater. Amen? So no matter what the devil cooks in his pot, God has already eaten that soup. Hallelujah. No matter what the devil cooks, God knows about it. Because he's the unchanging strong tower. He will never change. And he's the all-knowing God. Hallelujah. And that's what David knew. And that's what David knew. And that's why when David went and met Goliath, what he said confused Goliath. Goliath was stunned. He said, first of all, you are a boy.
you are not dressed up for the occasion. That he was looking physical eyes. He was confused. He was like, what is going on? By the time he could realize what was going on, there was already a stone on his forehead. Because David already knew that he has a God who is a strong tower. And God has always been his shelter. He has seen God fight his battles. He has seen God use him to kill a lion. He has seen God use him to kill a bear. This Goliath is not different than them. And so this is their strong tower. He was operating from a place of a strong tower. And so that was his confidence. It was not that he was smarter than Goliath or stronger. Of course, he wasn't. But it's just that he had some confidence and assurance because God had been faithful to him. There are many of us today, we are not even looking back on the good things that God has done for us. And we are living in depression. When we face some difficulties, we forget the lions that God has helped kill for us, that God has used us to kill. We forget the bears that God has used us to kill. We forget it. Not so with David. Instead, David gathered more courage because he knew that the fight was not his fight. He was fighting from a strong power position. Brethren, we have to understand one thing. There is no way you are going to survive in this world. Hallelujah. There is no way you are going to survive in this world on your own. If you fight on your own, you will be defeated. Depression will kick in. There will be no desire for God. There will be no. You'll be full of anxiety. You'll be anxious. Imagine for 40 days, the children of Israel were waiting for somebody to stand. They were waiting for Saul. For 40 days, nobody. So Goliath will come and he will say, "Is there anybody?" No. He will go them back. He was filibustering. That was the first filibustering in human history. He was filibustering. He came and he said, "Hey, day one, bring me somebody." Nobody. Okay. Day two, bring me somebody. Nobody. Okay. Very demoralizing. Each day reminds you of your weakness. You are not able to do anything. That's what the devil does. He filibusts. And when he filibusts, for those who don't know their God, he will filibust and laugh at you. Because he knows that you don't know the strength that you have. But no, God is calling us to stand on him. He has promised us that there is a supernatural shift. You have to believe it. From a position of a strong tower. Because we are fighting a modern spiritual warfare, but God has not changed. The tools that the devil uses today to trap believers, there are so many. You will not be able to fight them alone. You have to fight it from a position of strength. Amen. The tower does not mean that the fight is over. The fight is out there. Hallelujah. But the tower means that no matter the fight out there, it doesn't get to you. That's what it means. No matter what happens out there, it doesn't get to you. Amen. You have your little rocks. Amen. When they come, you just put your little rocks. Shoot those little rocks. Shoot them out there and pull them down. If you look at, I think it's Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 verse 10. Let's look at, let's finish with Ephesians 6 verse 10. Ephesians 6 verse 10. Hallelujah. Are we there?
It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord.
The Lord, the tower, the strong tower.
Say, be strong in the strong tower and in the power of his might. Say, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Puts it in plural, wiles. The tools of the devil. The strategies. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness and of this world, the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13. So whatever take, wherefore take unto you, again, the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Hallelujah. Stand. And while you stand, verse 14, you have your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Say, finally, be strong in the Lord. That was Apostle Paul's cry to the brethren in Ephesus, and we extend it to the church today. The apostle is saying, finally, brethren, be strong in your tower. Your strong tower, be strong in your strong tower. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Whatever you see in the physical, that's not what we wrestle against. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. He said there's spiritual wickedness in high places. High places, meaning that they see all what you do. Spiritual wickedness. They observe you. They observe your life. And they know how to send those darts, the wiles, as the Bible says, the wiles, the devil's wiles. They know how to send it. If you're not strong in your Lord, those darts will touch you. They will torment you. You will not live a happy life. You will not live a fulfilled Christian life. It's always going to be as though they are pushing you and forcing you to serve the Lord. You will always need somebody to send a hand and pull you out. You don't want to be that one. You want to be that one who stands and declares God's purposes, who stands and declares God's plans, who stands and declares God's will and God's ways. Because you are with God in a strong tower. And so you know the plans. And you know what's so beautiful when you are in that strong tower? You can see and identify who is the enemy and who is the friend. You can see and identify. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in your strong tower. Be strong in the strong tower. You know, we are in a season where schools are starting very soon. Some maybe have even started. But I know with us in Northern said we've not started. I think we start in 2 weeks. You don't know the evil darts that the devil has against your children. They are lined up. But we are vigilant and we are from a position of a strong tower. Amen? So, we have to be observant to be able to identify those darts. Amen? We have to pray for our children. We have to put them in a secure zone. A place where they will not be able to be touched. Covered under the blood. Head to toe. As they march in their classes, their safe space prevails. They carry with them God.
That is what will influence their classmates. They will come back with testimonies of how they shared the gospel with their classmates. Hallelujah. Because you know the wonderful thing in America, they fought against God in schools in such a way that a teacher cannot even talk about Jesus. You're gone. But the good thing is, a student can talk about Jesus. You know? A student can talk. I think there was a story of a man, of a coach, who could not talk about Jesus, or he could not even pray. And so when the students realized that if he begins a prayer, he will be in trouble, what the players did was, after every game, I think, or before one of those, they will go in the middle of the field, the students, and they will start praying. And then he can join and pray. And so those evil dads, they cannot come and say, you prayed. Because you cannot say that. They say, in America, you don't want people to pray. So no, I did not start the prayer. I just joined. My students are praying. They invited me, and I joined. So we have to pray for our children. There will be a link and a contact in these schools. Jesus Christ will be proclaimed through them. Amen? Testimonies will come out. And when those testimonies come out, the devil cannot fight it. You cannot tell them to shut up. No. During their break, they can preach the gospel. It's break. They can preach the gospel. These darts that will be released for our kids this year, we have to stop them in Jesus' name. Stop them. There's a lot of wickedness. There are people planning wickedness right now. They will not see our kids. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because we are operating from a place of a strong tower of strength. The conventional, the strategies might have changed, but we identify them. We know them. We know them. And so we pray against them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us stand, please. Don't forget, you have the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is your shelter, like David said. You have always been my shelter and my strong tower in time of need. Know that God is with you. When you put God first, you are telling God, you are my strong tower. I believe in you. It is you that will take me where I want to go. You are my safe space. You are my safe space. The righteous run into you and they are safe. God is our safe space. And in God's safe space, he dictates. He's the one who strategizes and draws everything and says, you are a victor. You are a victor. You are not a loser. You are the head. You are not the tail. You have power to conquer, to pull down strongholds. You have it. The safe space that God gives us. We claim them in the name of Jesus. Claim the safe space of God for your life. Claim the safe space of God for your family. Claim the safe space of God for a Lick Church. The safe space of God is what we are claiming this morning. The righteous run into the name of the Lord and they are safe. Hallelujah. Father, we exhort you for your word. We exhort you for your word. No matter the strategies, Lord, employed by the devil, it doesn't change the fact that you are a strong tower. Yes, Lord, we are operating from a position of strength. Oh, we are. Victory is assured. Victory is assured. We have you as our safe space. And so we can conquer the world. There is nothing that will come our way that we will not be able to conquer. We will not be able to defeat. Because we have you as a strong tower. Believe this and live with it. Walk with it. In this miracle journey that we have, that we are in. Believe that God is your strong tower. And as David, and like David, he always shows and comes through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Receive all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.